Headlines this hour, Iran calls for a deadline for global nuclear disarmament. Palestinian officials warn of a health crisis in the Gaza Strip due to the Israeli siege. And no end in sight for the travel chaos in Europe, which was caused by volcanic ash. Hello everyone, welcome to the news here on Press TV. I'm Hassan Tabakoli, thanks for joining us. Nuclear energy for all, nuclear weapons for none. That was the title of a conference in Tehran that attracted representatives from some 60 countries. Let's take a look.
Iran wrapped up a two-day conference on nuclear disarmament with one message to the nuclear weapons states.
The message of Tehran conference to the international community and nuclear weapons states is clear. This is the beginning of a serious process to strengthen the NPT and oblige parties to fully implement its pillars.
In other remarks, Iranian Foreign Minister concluded the meeting with a discussion of key points the participants had called for. He said the world had concerns about the current status of proliferation of nuclear weapons in some countries and called for nuclear disarmament to become the world's first priority. Motaki also called for comprehensive conventions to ban the development, production and stockpile of nuclear weapons and said the world should move towards having nuclear-free zones and should convince Israel to sign the NPT. The conference also concluded that agreements to reduce nuclear weapons must be transparent and irreversible. Motaki also said other countries' right to peaceful nuclear energy must be respected. He wanted the United Nations to ban attacks on nuclear sites. He also said permanent members of the UN Security Council should avoid double standards. The gathering was well attended by representatives from some 60 countries on Saturday and Sunday. Iran says it will hold a second international conference on nuclear disarmament in April 2011, what many hope could set the stage for greater steps towards a nuclear-free world.
Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says the nuclear-armed country's insistence to keep their nukes as deterrents is a wrong perception because such weapons are not applicable at all.
This insistence on the part of possessors of nuclear weapons when it comes to keeping those, stockpiling those weapons, so when they say that we will not let go of our weapons and we need them to provide our security, this is a wrong perception. Nukes can never bring security for any country. If they have the power to provide security for a country, it wouldn't have caused the collapse of the former Soviet Union. The former Soviet Union relying on nuclear weapons could have preserved its power. If all countries seriously take measures toward disarmament, and if we go really after this big target to see a world free of weapons of mass destruction, nuclear weapons, then automatically all the areas in the world, including the strategic area of Middle East, will also be on the agenda. We really believe that the Middle East without nuclear weapons can bring about stability and peace. And the measure by some Western countries to keep and to rearm the Israel regime with nukes, this is really threatening the region and it brought chaos and instability in the region.
Meanwhile, the Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council says Iran and Indonesia share common views on disarmament and non-proliferation of nuclear weapons. While meeting the Indonesian Foreign Minister, Said Jalili said he hopes such common views will help influence the outcome of the upcoming NPT review conference at the UN headquarters. The Indonesian Minister, Marty Natalegawa, believes the potential of the disarmament conference in Tehran should be used at the May conference in New York. Meanwhile, Omani Foreign Minister Yusuf bin Alawi, who also met Jalili, said that Iran's disarmament conference transparently showed that its nuclear activities are all peaceful. Well, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says regional nations want foreign forces to leave. Mr. Ahmadinejad also slammed foreign militaries for trying to dominate the Middle East.
It is now clear to everyone that the main reason behind their presence in the region is to take control of the resources, talents and the cultures. Experience has shown that such a presence has brought nothing but war, insecurity, massacre, hatred and division.
Well, Ahmadinejad made the comments at a ceremony marking Army Day. He said regional nations also want Israel to be uprooted. He said the Zionist regime is behind all acts of sedition in the Middle East. Ahmadinejad praised the Iranian military, saying it projects deterrence and manifests Iran's capabilities. The latest homemade equipment in the hands of the Iranian military was paraded at the ceremony. Three generations of Iranian ballistic missiles, including the Shahab 3, Badr 1 and Sajil, were also put on display.
Several nations of the world hold an Army Day to recognize, venerate and honor their military forces. In Iran, this day falls on April 18. One of the least talked about parts of Iran's military is its Army Aviation Unit. To find out more about the activities of this unit, we came to Isfahan, where the main operational facilities of Iran's Army Aviation Units are located.
Training is very important for us. These are all American planes you can find in the region. We teach our personnel how to recognize them and take the appropriate course of action if necessary.
As a support unit, Iran's Army Aviation Units participated almost in every military operation during the 8-year Iraq-Iran war. But now, Iranian military has a different set of priorities such as deterrence and self-sufficiency. To serve this purpose, along with other units of Iran's military, Army Aviation Units have had a rapid progress in developing their needed equipment nationally.
The equipment you see here is used to jumpstart a helicopter. It is called GPU, or Ground Power Unit. The big unit you saw before has been used everywhere in the world in the past. In its place, we built this smaller version domestically, right here at our own base, and we're now mass-producing them for all Army Aviation Units in the country.
The main message of this day is that Iranian armed forces are ready and prepared to support peace and security in the region. Fereydun Salihzadeh, Press TV, Isfahan.
Now, diplomacy is the best way to deal with Iran's nuclear dispute. Well, that's the message from the chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff. Admiral Mike Mullen has not ruled out possible military action against Iran's nuclear facilities. But he says it should be a last resort. The United States and its allies accuse Iran of seeking nuclear weapons, a charge Tehran denies. Iran insists its nuclear program is entirely peaceful and aimed at generating electricity for its growing population. Now, a pro-independence candidate has claimed victory in the Turkish Cypriot presidential poll. Dervis Eroglu has taken more than 50% of the vote, beating incumbent Mehmet Ali Talat. Erdoğlu's victory is seen as a setback for efforts to reunify Cyprus. He supports broad autonomy for northern Cyprus, but has pledged to carry on with a UN-brokered peace process with the island's majority Greek Cypriots. Cyprus has been divided along ethnic lines since a Turkish invasion in 1974. Northern Cyprus is only recognized by Turkey. Well, Greek Cypriots represent the internationally recognized Republic of Cyprus in the European Union and say they will stop Turkey joining the bloc as long as the island remains divided. Turkey has called for a resolution to the issue by the end of the year. Well, officials in Gaza are warning of a health crisis due to continued power outages and the lack of fuel for possible backup generators.
A health crisis is in the making in the Gaza Strip, as hospitals and clinics are running low on fuel for their backup generators. The problem started on the 9th of April, when Gaza's sole power plant stopped working due to lack of fuel supplies, which forced hospitals to fall back on backup generators, which consume 20,000 liters of fuel a day. The power plant resumed limited operations 3 days later, But by then, the hospitals had almost depleted their reserves of fuel.
Because of the power outage from the main source of electricity in Gaza, so we rely on generators now. The problem of these generators is that they consume large amounts of fuel during the power outage. And what we have today, we are about to run out of fuel totally in these hospitals.
Medicines for chronically ill patients risk being spoiled due to power outages because they require refrigeration at all times. Vaccines and blood plasma also require constant refrigeration.
If we lose electricity and the temperature inside these refrigerators rises over 8 degrees centigrade, the medicines will be destroyed. Most of these medicines are for cancer patients as well as vaccines, and they require constant refrigeration at all times.
The life of patients on life support and premature infants, in addition to those who require kidney dialysis, is hanging by a thread in case of another power outage, according to Ministry of Health officials.
In fact, the effects of the power outage in the hospital is horrible effect. You speak about the intensive care units, the cardiac surgery patients, the hemodialysis machines needed for kidney failure patients, also the nurseries and the incubators of the neonates and newborn babies.
After almost 3 years of siege, the vulnerable patients of Gaza are still paying the price of international apathy towards their plight.
While Gaza health officials are warning against an imminent health crisis in the enclave, Gazans are anxiously waiting to see what measures the international community will adopt to put an end to this condition. Ashraf Shannon, Press TV Gaza.
Well, our millions of stranded travelers are facing further air chaos as clouds of volcanic ash from Iceland continue to spread throughout Europe, while some 30 countries have closed their airspace and some have extended flight bans into Monday. Experts say the cloud may not shift until later in the week. Here's more.
There seems to be no end in sight for travel misery in Europe. Most of Europe remains a virtual no-fly zone amid safety fears over the cloud of ash from Iceland's volcano. The spread of ash from last week's eruption has forced much of Europe's airspace to close.
I'm feeling really angry, really angry. I feel like they keep telling us every day that we have to wait until tomorrow, and so we've been waiting.
Some airlines, such as KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines and Lufthansa, have started making test flights to try and identify safe flight paths. The International Air Transport Association estimates the shutdown is costing airlines more than $200 million a day. Many frustrated travelers are now turning to trains, ferries and taxis to get to their destinations.
I don't know, I don't have any chance at the moment. Maybe I will rent a car, a private car, and I will pay, I don't know how much.
Scientists have warned that the eruption is showing no signs of abating.
The last eruption went on for over a year, not continuously like this, of course. It went up and down and there were periods when very little was happening. But, you know, we could be seeing weeks or months of this.
Forecasters say prevailing winds and large amounts of ice above the volcano means the situation is unlikely to change in the coming days. There's also a risk that a second larger volcano in the same part of Iceland could awaken.
And watching the news here on Press TV, quick check of the headlines this hour. Iran calls for a deadline for global nuclear disarmament. Palestinian officials warn of a health crisis in the Gaza Strip due to the Israeli siege. And no end in sight for the travel chaos in Europe caused by volcanic ash.